canceling Thanksgiving would exacerbate psychological problems that we're already suffering from. Studies warn us about the increasing deterioration of our mental health the longer the lockdowns and other stressors continue. So it's an antidote to depression. If we lose this traditional celebration, it will add to the list of losses we're already grieving. That's for number two. Number three, families, especially kids, need a reminder that we all have things to be grateful for, even in these hard times. This year, amidst coronavirus fears and mandates, the presidential election, our political divisiveness, our wildfires, Thanksgiving encourages us to dig deep and think of things we take for granted. It can be a way to begin a ritual of counting blessings every day. And number four, the most important thing we have to be thankful for and what we take for granted is our freedom. Yes, we do, by and large, are a free country still. You can spread out those little tables inside so your guests can eat and chat at a safe distance. You can invite guests outside if the weather's nice to enjoy that way. And, of course, contact elderly and people who cannot get out via Zoom. So there's lots of way of celebrating and honoring the holiday. And thanks to Dr. Lieberman for those thoughts. Chef John Ash.
How are you?
I am doing well.
So can I throw out a thought to you? One of the things that you could do, which would be of great help, is if you have a mind to and can afford it, is to buy one of these turkey meals from one of the restaurants that are really struggling right now. And there are lots and lots of choices for people who are preparing Thanksgiving dinner to take home. So you don't have to do it yourself. So take that burden off your back.
Good. And we'll also have a way for you to support folks that may not have a pie for their Thanksgiving a little bit later on. And that's our guest, Katie Hilario, who will be talking with in about 15, 20 minutes. Want to mention to folks that we want to encourage listeners now, at this moment, to think about Art Ebledo, the pasta king, who's been a wonderful friend of this program and a friend of Sonoma County for the last 50 years or so. He has been hospitalized, I found out this morning, and we want all of our listeners to send him some big healing thoughts and hugs today and pray for his full recovery, because if we know Art, and we do know Art, he's itching to get back to making big batches of polenta as soon as possible. So let's all remember Art in our prayers and the family this morning before we go down Thanksgiving road. So every year we always encourage our listeners, ask our listeners, invite our listeners to participate in some Thanksgiving chit-chat. What type of meals were particularly memorable? What are you going to be gracing your holiday table with this year? Are there ones that you're just not going to give up, dishes that have to be on that table regardless whether two people show up or three people, family members, show up? What can you not live without? And what holiday disasters come to mind that you prefer not to think about, but that you'd be willing to share with us this morning? What really went wrong at a Thanksgiving dinner that you participated in or that you hosted that you'll never forget and could be entertaining to, and to unburden yourself to share with us this morning? 636-1350 is all you need to do to chime in. The Butterball Boys are here, as always, John and Steve. And we'll also share our memories of things that didn't go quite well. You can also shoot us an email if you'd rather not chat on the air. It's 636-1350. The Butterball line is open, or steve@ksro.com. I can't imagine, you know, when we talked about this, I said to you, John, you could never have had anything that didn't go perfectly. You're the one of the best chefs in America. And then I thought, how do people become great chefs? Failure.
Exactly.
Like the greatest ball players. Yeah. How many times do they strike out? Mm-hmm. Look at any profession. It's not a matter of just unlimited success. It's a matter of what, that didn't work out very well. Is that true?
It's absolutely true. I think the greatest, and many famous culinarians have said this, that the greatest discoveries in cooking come from mistakes. Something happened that you didn't expect to happen, and it's okay after all. Or I'll never do that again.
So do you have one particular one that stands out? I have one that stands out. I'll be glad to start the ball rolling.
Okay, go ahead.
So since I was asked to provide dessert many years ago because people know that I make pretty good desserts. I'm a good baker. Cook, I'm okay, but I'm a pretty good baker. This was, the year was 1992, as a matter of fact. It's funny how these things stick in your craw. And that was the year I had embraced Weight Watchers. You know where I'm going with this one, don't you?
I think so.
So I wanted to be true to my school, you know. And so I scoured the Weight Watcher cookbooks to come up with what I was sure was going to be a winning dessert. And I really bet on the wrong horse. So what I chose was a mock coconut custard pie. The operative word is mock. And what was in that custard pie was about a cup of fat-free evaporated milk, about a half a cup of Splenda sugar substitute, about a half cup of egg substitute, 2 teaspoons of coconut extract, and 1 cup of cooked spaghetti squash.
Whoa.
The coup de grace. So that was my experiment, and I thought, oh, this will be good. Although the voice in the back of my mind said, what are you thinking? So people were, you know, at Thanksgiving, everyone is so complimentary. This is really interesting, Steve. This is really, really good. But you know, at that moment, why they call this mock coconut pie. Because when your back is turned, everyone is mocking you. I finally figured this out. They're saying, God, can you believe it, Steve Landis? So anyway, that was a humbling experience. And I realized that if I wanted to do that in the privacy of my own home, that's fine. But don't subject captive guests to your experiment with your Weight Watcher mock coconut.
Yeah, and I think Weight Watcher recipes have gotten a lot better in recent years now that Oprah's involved. You know,
that's true. This was 28 years ago we're talking about. But that was a very had to breathe deep, and I kept apologizing. Mm-hmm. And you know, guests, as I said, oh no, it's fine, this is good. But that one for me was a low point. What about you?
Well, I bet others have done this, but very early on, this was before I even started my culinary career. I worked other jobs. I decided that I was going to cook Thanksgiving turkey for everyone, and so I read lots of recipes to try to get an idea, mostly about temperature and things like that. And I'll never forget, I put it in the oven. I followed all the rules. It was really pretty on the outside, nicely browned. And I brought it to the table and cut into it. And I hate to admit this, I had forgotten to take the giblet package out of the cavity. And of course, nobody wanted to eat it, you know, with all that raw stuff in there and all that kind of. So, you know, check, read the instructions maybe twice if you've never done it before. Just to make sure.
So it was a bust. I mean,
we didn't eat it.
Didn't eat the turkey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was concerned that you know people are going to bite it. Who? God knows. It probably would have been fine.
And it might have been. It was probably cooked properly, but it was.
You know, when it's in the cavity, it
permeates. Possibly.
Well, the temperature is a lot lower, so you get concerned about, I've just heated it up to the place where salmonella is rampant.
Well, you never did that again.
No.
And there's always side dishes. That's the saving grace for Thanksgiving.
Great mashed potatoes and stuff like that.
A lot of people feel, who cares about the turkey?
That true?
For the side dishes, the green bean casserole, the cranberry sauce, the sweet potato, save room for desserts, the Parker House rolls, the biscuits. There's so many other wonderful, enticing foods over on the table, even though, to me, I'm a big turkey fan, so I want that turkey.
Yeah, and cooking a good turkey it's an art form. It really is. So that it doesn't get, especially the breast. And actually, that's what I'm going to do this year, since my family gathering is going to be a lot smaller. I'm going to get a boneless breast, roll it up with, I haven't quite decided what, but some sort of really tasty sausage, like a boudin blanc or something like that, tie it and roast it that way. Oh. And much easier to cook. takes a lot less time. Have a meat thermometer, for sure, instant read thermometer, to make sure, especially a breast, so that you don't overcook it. And there you go.
So a skin-on breast.
So that you have that crispy skin.
And how do you put that stuffing into the breast?
Well, if you think about the breast, you can, it's like a book. You can open it up if it's boned, mm-hmm. Or a half breast even if it's boned. You can kind of cut a little slash in it and as I say, open it out like a book, and then put whatever stuffing or even just a delicious herb butter or something like that, and then tie it up. This is your chance to learn how to use twine and learn the butcher's tie, you know, which is I should show everybody how to do that. It's so simple. And when you see it done, it's like, oh, that's how they get those even, they don't cut it after each tie. It's a great tool to be able to do.
If you want to share your holiday disasters, you can use a phony name.
You can.
You don't need to use your real name, but we love to hear some of those disasters.
Here's one from Steve G.
It didn't come out quite as you wanted. And because, let's face it, there's enough pressure on Thanksgiving, right? We need some levity at this point. Some lightness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's only a meal after
that. Yeah.
And just to be able to share it with even one or two loved ones is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Steve would like, let's see, we have Alan who would like to share a thought with us this morning about possibly a Thanksgiving that had not gone as he had anticipated. Hi, welcome to the show, Alan. Is this Alan? That's not Alan. Okay, is this Steve?
Pierre.
Nope. Well, we have two people on, and neither of them are responding. It's either Alan or Steve.
Pierre.
Oh, okay, it's Pierre.
Well, that's pretty close.
Pierre, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Steve and John. Happy Saturday.
Thank you.
I want to recall an incident on Thanksgiving maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I had two sets of couples very dear to us. One was local, one was some friends of ours from Florida. All of them could probably walk into a professional kitchen and make the best meal. I was told to stay away from, do not touch anything to do with preparing the food, stand back, which is fine. I'm fine. I was asked, the only thing I had to do was take a saucepan of gravy, and if I recall correctly, just pour a little of the gravy in the pan where the turkey was and put the saucepan back. Well, I opened up the oven door, and I don't know what happened. The saucepan of gravy just exploded and went all over the oven, all over the floor, all over my clothes. And, of course, I've ruined Thanksgiving. And I'm on the ground trying to clean things up to cover my tracks. And as I look over to the four dear friends sitting at the table, they just stared at me. No one got up to help. They just said, this is your making, and you are going to clean up. And it was like, I can't believe. Are these my friends? Is that a Thanksgiving type of thing? Perhaps, Steve, have you ever had an incident like that?
Well, I would just counsel, and hopefully you found new friends since that point in time. Because
actually,
they certainly...
We have not, and we're going to be spending Thanksgiving with you this Thursday. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you so much for the call.
All right, guys.
Things slip.
They do.
Slips,
they
right?
do, yeah.
Things fall out of your hands no matter how. And we're moving quickly usually for Thanksgiving. Everything's coming to a head at once. Speaking of which, mashed potatoes. What's your trick for keeping mashed potatoes in ready to be served?
In the
restaurant, what do?
Oh, well, we have steam tables to keep them warm. But you can approximate that at home, and that is to put it in a bowl, preferably a metal bowl, cover it with plastic, and put it in a larger pot that just has a bit of water in the bottom, and turn that so that it's just barely steaming. It'll keep your mashed potatoes nice and warm for hours.
And someone also told me I could put them in Ziploc bags, the mashed potatoes, and keep them at a low boil.
Well, sort of the same thing, yeah.
Same principle.
Yeah, kind of a sous vide mashed potato.
Sous vide, yeah. That's one of the things that I worry about is mashed potatoes, not having those come to the table hot, because you really want hot mashed potatoes. So you're simplifying yours. You're doing a stuffed turkey breast.
Yeah.
And are you doing anything else? Is that the main course you're responsible for?
Well, that's enough of a main course, I think. But other things, some nice cheeses, and a couple of the recipes that I did for the Press Democrat.
And here they are.
Yeah.
And we have a beautiful photo of you in your kitchen. And by the way, if you want to chime in with any Thanksgiving disasters or things did not go as you had planned, 636-1350, we'd love to hear from you this morning. So this was great. Fresh cranberry relish with tangerine and mint. I've made this recipe.
It's so simple. And you don't cook it. It requires no cooking. It's just the cranberries washed, a tangerine, cut, peel and all, remove the seeds, and you put it in the food processor with some sugar and grind it up. And it's so delicious. And it's even better the second day.
And you can add a little Grand Marnier or
if
the
you want,
orange liqueur. You can add a little toasted walnuts if you like.
Yeah.
You can gild the lilies. But just that in itself is just perfect.
It's great.
Salt crusted potatoes with salsa verde, would that be an appetizer?
It could be an appetizer, or it could be just instead of mashed potatoes. I almost hesitated to put that in there because I'm such a fan of mashed potatoes too. The more cream, the more butter, the better. But salt roasted potatoes are pretty interesting. Take the fingerling potatoes, put them in a pan with just enough water to barely cover them, and then put in maybe a tablespoon or so, not, you don't need any more than that, of kosher salt, and put them over moderate heat and let them cook away until all the water evaporates. Then you roll the potatoes around, and they have this beautiful kind of salty crust on them, and they're delicious just that way. And I threw in the salsa verde because I thought, well, if somebody wants to dip it into something, since we're not going to have any gravy with this recipe, with this menu, have a little salsa verde, which is just parsley and olive oil and garlic and anchovy and all that stuff ground up. And it makes the most it does make the most delicious little appetizer.
Here's another wonderful vegetable alternative for your Thanksgiving table. Red cabbage gratin.
Yeah.
That is so simple, isn't it?
Well, it's really simple. I mean, potato gratin, which I think all of us have had and is absolutely delicious. Well, do the same thing with red cabbage. Shave it very thinly, put it in a buttered pan, and then separately heat up some heavy cream, maybe a little stock and some herbs and all of that stuff, and pour it over the top of the cabbage, and then sprinkle on some whatever cheese you like, and stick it in the oven. It's great.
Sounds beautiful. You included a lovely green bean recipe with bacon and egg.
So this was just the bacon and egg green beans. And the idea here was, yes, you could do the old Campbell's soup green beans with the fried onions and stuff like that, but why not do something simpler? So I just blanch the green beans, which is my preferred way of cooking green beans. I know people today are doing all kinds of things like charring them and all of that stuff, but why would you do that? And then simply taking some pancetta or bacon and cooking it and crumbling it up, and then hard-boiled egg and slicing them very thinly and putting those over the top, and then a really delicious oil over the top of that. Like, I love walnut, toasted walnut oil, or any of the citrus extra virgin olive oils, and it couldn't be simpler. And you could do everything ahead, you know, so that's...
It's a great alternative to the old cream of mushroom Campbell's soup.
Absolutely.
Green bean casserole. And let's skip ahead to this winter squash coconut panna cotta.
Yeah.
Winter squash, never thought to do that.
Well, so one of the winter squashes is pumpkin, of course. So you could use pumpkin, but you could use any of the sweet winter squashes, Hubbard, acorn, any of those things. Take them, get the puree. It doesn't require much. And then it's panna cotta is a... It gets its body from using a bit of gelatin. So you take some gelatin, just warm it up until it melts, and then fold it into the squash, some heavy cream, some vanilla, a little sugar, all of that, and put it attractively in little ramekins. And you can try to, the one I did for the PD didn't come out of the ramekin quite as prettily as I would have wanted. You can just leave it in the ramekin and eat it.
And it sets up, and you do it in the morning, it would set up by late afternoon, early evening?
Two hours. Yeah.
Great recipe. Yeah. And best of all, we have already posted these recipes on KSRO website.
Okay.
You can go to KSRO, scroll down to the Good Food Hour, then scroll right to recipes, and you'll find these terrific John
Nash
recipes.
So do we have time for me to mention something else?
Sure.
So the main course for this was either a very small turkey or a large chicken. And the key to it is there are two techniques that are involved in this. One is to dry brine, which simply means to sprinkle lightly the surface of the chicken or the turkey and stick it in the refrigerator uncovered a day ahead of time if you can. This was for anybody who remembers having roast chicken at the Zuni Cafe in San Francisco. This was Judy Rogers' great secret. She would take chickens, sprinkle them with salt, stick them in the walk-in uncovered for 2 days, even 3 days, and the skin gets very dry, and so you get a really crispy skin with this, and it also flavors the bird, which is really nice. And the other thing I did was to spatchcock, which is so funny. Every culinary magazine I read this year has spatchcocking. Somehow they've gotten on that. And all that means is to cut out the backbone and flatten it out like a book, and it cooks in about half the time.
Beautiful. That one too, dry brine roast chicken, all on the KSRO website now. We'll talk to Katie Hilario, the pie queen of Sonoma County, right after this. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Dr. Walter Tom. He's always willing to answer your questions.
Why local anesthesia for cosmetic breast surgery? I feel, number one, that it's safer. Secondly, your recovery is quicker. And lastly, you have less postoperative discomfort.
A true professional with skills beyond the ordinary. Voted Sonoma County's best cosmetic surgeon.
That's a common question. Most of my patients following cosmetic breast surgery say that their breasts feel very natural and they like the natural look.
One question leads to another, and every question is important.
There are advantages to saline implants and there are advantages to silicone implants, and I'm happy to review these with you. Safety is always a concern. I want to reassure you that we use only FDA-approved and the safest breast implants available today.
Cosmetic surgeon Dr. Walter Tom. Contact his office today for a free consultation. Online at drwaltertom.com. drwaltertom.com.
Sonoma County. The drive-in is back Friday, November 20th and 27th at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds Brookwood Lot in Santa Rosa.
Fill every seatbelt in the car and pack a picnic. Gates at 5, show at 6:30. All county safety procedures strictly followed. Cars parked 6 feet apart. Masks required. Stay in the car and listen through your FM radio. Tickets are only $40 per car. Friday, November 27th. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Tickets and info at BayAreaPopUpEvents.com.
In the KSRO kitchen, celebrating our 34th Thanksgiving with you, our KSRO Good Food Hour listeners. I'm Steve Gardner, along with Chef John Ash. We can squeeze in one more holiday mishap. I won't call it a disaster. That's going too far. And it looks like from Windsor, Steve would like a word with us. Steve, tell us about a Thanksgiving you'd prefer to forget.
Oh, actually, we love to remember it because it was hilarious. My mother always made a big deal out of Thanksgiving. We'd always have at least 20 or more people. And this particular Thanksgiving, we had about 26 people. And the night before, she is making her famous sage stuffing that everybody loved in a big pan. And once she had all the ingredients in it, she would get in with her hands and mix it up real good. But earlier, she had cut herself on her finger and put a Band-Aid on it. And when she was done, she could not find the Band-Aid. And so she had me, with a plate, going through every little bit of that sage stuffing, looking for the Band-Aid, and could not find it. And so then she thought maybe she lost it in the sink or something. So anyway, the next day while we're eating dinner, she's sitting across the table from me, and all of a sudden I realize there's something a little extra chewy in the stuffing. And I look up at her, and she looks at me, and she instantly knows what has happened. And so she's shaking her head, no, you know. But I very discreetly took it out. Well, later she made me swear that until after her death, nobody would ever know that story. And then the next day, she's making turkey soup out of the stock, and she goes to strain the bones out, and we're talking, and she's straining it through the strainer, and she realizes she didn't put a bowl under it. It all went down the sink. And so every year, this is our traditional story, and I just love the fact that I can share it with so many listeners, and I love your program, guys.
Thank you. Thanks. Steve. Very wonderful story. I don't know that I'll ever eat stuffing again.
I know. And how many people just haven't said anything?
Exactly.
just go for it.
Thank you, Steve. Katie Hilario is a real treasure in Sonoma County and Santa Rosa. Many years ago, she started baking pies to donate the funds to the Redwood Empire Food Bank. And every year, Katie has joined us and whipped people's enthusiasm to support the Redwood Empire Food Bank. Katie, thanks for joining us this morning once again.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how old were you, like 2 years old when you started baking pies 10 years ago?
I was 12.
Mm. And so this is your 10th anniversary of baking pies for the Redwood Empire Food Bank to raise funds for them?
Yes, it is. What a tense year it is.
Was it touch and go whether you were wondering whether you were going to be able to even do that and get access to the kitchen?
Yes. And then I talked to the chef at the food bank, and he's like, let's go. Let's do it. And I was like, oh, awesome. I have support from the food bank. We're baking.
So this is Pies for Poverty, the philanthropic organization you founded, and you gear up every Thanksgiving to bake pies, pumpkin pies specifically. How many pies have you baked over the last 10 years and sold?
Total in the last 9 years? You're on total numbers?
Yeah, or an approximation.
Okay. Oh, I have the exact number. In the last 2011 through 2019, I have baked a total of 1,773 pies.
Wow. That is a lot of pies. Now, I know that yesterday was kind of the deadline for people to order pumpkin pies, but can you extend the deadline till tomorrow for listeners that want to get in on it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, it's too late to send you a check, obviously. What can we do? Where do we go to buy pies that are, and the funds are donated to the Redwood Empire Food Bank? What do we do?
So I have an email, piesforpoverty@outlook.com. Four is spelled out, F-O-R. And I've had a lot of people just say, hey, my check I can't, if I put a check in the mail now, it won't get to you in time. So I take down their order, and then I have people pay when they pick up or get their pie dropped off.
So the email is piesforpoverty@outlook.com?
Yes.
And how much are pies?
Pies are $15 a piece.
Okay.
That's so inexpensive. You should raise the price.
And when do we pick up the pies, Katie?
Pickup will be Wednesday at the Redwood Empire Food Bank. And when people order from me, I collect their emails. And then Monday and Tuesday night, I send out emails with exact specifics. Because right now, I have a general plan. But as we get closer, I will have, you know, like who will be there for pickup, where exactly it will be. So it will be for sure at the Redwood Empire Food Bank outside. And we're hoping to do like a drive-through thing.
Okay. Well, this is all great. The important thing is that we want our listeners to support Pies for Poverty. Go to the website, piesforpoverty.outlook.com. Order a pie or two or three. Even if you don't need them, order them because it's such a great philanthropic thing to do.
It makes a great gift for
a neighbor or someone that can't do their own Thanksgiving, or a first responder. There's always people that would love a pumpkin pie, and then you can pick it up on Wednesday, and you'll confirm with everybody via email. Is that right, Katie? When, what time to pick up their pie?
Yes, I will. And I want to put it out there that I still am having my donate to a first responder option. So even if a person doesn't want the pie for themselves, they can donate to a first responder or a food kitchen.
Fantastic. I'm so glad that you're continuing this tradition after 10 years. And here you're a young woman. You were just a seventh grader when you started. And now you're a 20-something college student still baking these pies for Thanksgiving with your volunteers. Okay, we'll check in with you next week. We'll find out how many pies you sold and how much money you raised. Okay?
All right, great. Thank you so much.
And before we send you off, would you give us your favorite number between 1 and 10 today, Katie?
9.
Caller number 9 at 636-1350 will win their own personal pumpkin pie baked by Katie Hilario and her volunteers. Caller number 9 at 636-1350. Katie, we hope you sell a ton of pies. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Great talking with you. We'll talk again next Saturday. Coming up next, if you want to bake your own pies, there's a person that knows an awful lot of pie who's going to join us.
He knows more than anyone.
Ken Hedrich, who's the author of The Pie Academy, Master of the Perfect Crust and 255 Amazing Fillings. Ken will be joining us next.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Real Estate in Sonoma County carries on following all safety precautions to ensure the safety of both buyers and sellers.
The market is strong and the loan rates are still low. Thinking of selling? Buyers are waiting for your house to come on the market. If you're thinking of moving out of state, I can connect you with an agent from my network that I know and trust in the area you're moving to, and together we'll coordinate your move for a smooth transition. Give me a call and I'll give you some honest advice, let you know some easy steps you can take to make your house appeal to today's buyers, explain the current market, and help you find a good strategy, whether you decide to hire me as your realtor or not.
Allison Norman is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty and host of Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, Sundays at 9 a.m. on KSRO. To discuss your specific real estate needs or to make a no-obligation appointment, call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 01720334.
West Santa Rosa has a new farmer's market. El Mercadito Market in Roseland Village, Thursdays 2 to 6 and Sundays 11 to 3. Get the freshest ingredients for your holiday celebrations. Shop fruit from Rojas Family Farm, including red and green grapes, persimmons, Asian pears, pomegranates, and oranges. Ortiz Brothers has beautiful flowers, zucchini, summer squash, cauliflower, and broccoli. Gourmet Growers features Sonoma-grown mushrooms. Myriad Coffee is pouring hot coffee and locally handmade agua frescas. Brierton Almonds has a variety of sweet and savory roasted almonds. In partnership with Metote Food Park, there'll be 3 to 4 food trucks each week. Together, let's keep our farmers markets open for our community by social distancing, wearing masks, and washing hands. If you find yourself in a line at the market, do your best to move the line away from the aisle. That's the all-new Farmers Market in Roseland Village, Thursdays 2 to 6 and Sundays 11 to 3. Closed Thanksgiving Day. More info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Created as an alternative to traditional wood for rebuilding after the California fires, more families are turning to EcoSteel for rebuilding their homes. EcoSteel supplies modern prefabricated steel building systems that are not only designed with architects to look beautiful, but stand up to nearly any condition imaginable. It doesn't sustain water damage or rot like wood, and it doesn't attract termites. Committed to making the planet a better place for future generations, contact EcoSteel online at ecosteel.com.
When you need a little Christmas, switch to Sonoma County's Christmas music station at 104.9 FM.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me.
For all Christmas music, switch to the Christmas K-Hits 104.9.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away.
The greatest hits of Christmas. The Christmas K-Hits 104.9.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. We are celebrating our 34th Thanksgiving with you, our listeners, in the only way we know how, and that's with pie. I want to mention the email again for Katie Hilario for her wonderful pie organization that's donating pie to the Redwood Empire Food Bank, all the proceeds. The email to order pies, Pies for Poverty, P-I-E-S for Poverty. That's all one word, at outlook.com. And we hope you'll support Katie and her organization. First time we heard the name Ken Heidrich was in 1992, when Ken won a Julia Child Award for a cookbook and an entertaining book that he wrote. And then in 2002, John and I talked extensively about Ken's book, Apple Pie Perfect, when we were broadcasting live from the Gravenstein Apple Fair. And lo and behold, Ken has a new book. It's called Pie Academy, Master the Perfect Crust and 255 Amazing Fillings with Fruits, Nuts, Creams, Custards, Ice Cream, and more. Right in time for Thanksgiving, Ken is joining us. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. How are you today?
We are doing great. Are you up to your elbows in flour and butter and shortening and lard and all the sugar?
I've been that way for years. but yes, it's Thanksgiving week, and it's going to be a real rocking and rolling, pun intended, week.
So tell us about the Academy. This is a place that people can go to, if they've never baked a pie before, can go to learn more about it.
Is it a virtual academy online?
It's a couple of different things. It's started as a website that, I've given a lot of cooking demonstrations over the years, and it never seemed to matter what the subject was. People in the end always wanted to ask me pie questions, whether I was talking about salads or casseroles or anything else. So at some point I realized there's a real need here. People are really curious about pie and intimidated by it. So I started this website called the Pie Academy to basically, in a nutshell, teach people how to make pies and to not be intimidated by the process. And over the years, that has grown into not just this cookbook, but we also do in-person getaways every year in different locations. We've done most of them in Charleston, South Carolina, and now we're doing them in Woodstock, Vermont, where people, members of the Pie Academy, fly in from wherever they are, and we spend the weekend baking pies together. So it's taken on a number of shapes.
How many pie pans do you own?
That's a very good question. I own about 50. And I tell my wife I could have worse vices than buying the occasional pie pan, so she gives me a break on that one.
I was very touched with how loving your mom and dad were toward your development of making pies. Your dad was a gifted pie maker, eh?
Well, I was one of seven kids, and they had this fall ritual where every Sunday they'd load us into the car, a Woody station wagon back then, and we'd go up into the foothills around Plainfield, New Jersey, where I was raised, and they'd buy these big bushel baskets full of apples, and we'd come back, and all us kids would sit around the table, and Mom and Dad would start making their apple pie, and Dad was the crust guy. You know, he'd get out his Crisco can and make the crust, and Mom would be the fruit gal. She cut up the apples, and they just had such a good time doing this, and it was so much fun to watch them. And they sort of planted the seed for this whole thing.
So you have lots of wonderful tips in this book about, and also your favorites. Tell us your favorite pie crust, and why is it your favorite?
Well, in terms of simplicity, you know, I like to keep things simple. And when I learned how to make a pie crust, I learned how to do it by hand. But and I still do quite often. But over the years, I've learned to really enjoy doing it in the food processor. It's kind of streamlined, and it's easy, and it's relatively quick. So right at the front of the pie crust section, I have a single crust food processor pie dough. And that's probably my go-to crust for so many of the things I make, sweet or savory. I have a buttermilk pie crust that I really like, too. We make that one a lot at our getaways. That uses buttermilk for the liquid instead of water. It makes a very, very tender, flaky crust.
Two things I learned about you, Ken, which I admire, and that is malted milk balls were your favorite candy because they were mine also. But also, I was just in awe that in seventh grade, Sister Teresa appointed you the candy clerk for St. Mary's Grammar School. That's like a dream job for a kid. But it seems like almost your life path was pretty much set in motion at that time.
I guess the die was cast very early, and I never quite shook it. But gosh, I had totally forgotten about telling that story, but it's true. And if, on very rare occasions, I would snitch an extra malted milk ball.
Because you could.
Because you could.
I'll pay for it someday.
And just could you tell us quickly what were the duties of the candy clerk?
Just, you know, they'd send the different kids up for the representatives from each class, and they'd buy whatever candy they needed for their class that day to sell, and I would collect the money.
Wow.
And so I was the money changer.
Wow. It's an honor to talk with you.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll jump into Ken Heydrich's new book,
because
Pie Academy.
You have some wild things in here.
It is simple, astounding.
Great things for the beginner, but for the person who's experienced, some things to push you on to new territory.
Master the perfect crust and 255 amazing fillings. Ken's last name is spelled Haedrich. Ken Heydrich, back after this.
Bennett Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Like to read? Then listen to this chilling story from a Sonoma County author.
When I was 4 years old, I was at my great-grandmother Graciana's house in Southern California. She was in the kitchen cooking, and I was playing. But when she came into the living room to check on me, I was standing there holding a loaded German Luger. What was my grandmother doing with a German Luger in her nightstand? This is the story of a young Basque girl who went looking for work in Paris as she followed her dream to get to America. But the occupation got in the way. She was drawn into the war, her sister torn from her, and Graciana was forced to make impossible life and death decisions. Stay on track to her American dream? Run away from the war with the men in her life? Or stay and fight? My name is Trini Amador. Graciana was my great-grandmother. This is her story.
Get your signed copy of this book at Graciana Winery in Healdsburg.
Thanksgiving. Big holiday. Simple word. Thanksgiving. A time set aside to be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. We gather around the table with friends and family, basking in the aromas of roast turkey and dressing, and cranberries and pumpkin pie. Oh, what a feast. And everything you need to prepare such a feast for your friends and family to enjoy, you can find at Hardesty's Homewares. since 1924. Literally thousands of holiday meals have been prepared with kitchenware purchased at Hardesty's. Sometimes people even bring something to the store just to say thanks. The friendly people at Hardesty's love those fresh baked goodies. And they're grateful this Thanksgiving for customers just like you who share their joy of cooking. Hardesty's Homewares. There's no place like home. There's no place like Hardesty's. Hardesty's Homewares. Open Monday through Saturday in Farmers Lane Plaza at the corner of Farmers Lane and Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Chef John Ash and Steve Garner in the KSRO kitchen. The Thursday we know is coming up soon, and if you're thinking of baking a pie, then you'll definitely want to have a look at Pie Academy, Master the Perfect Crust and 255 Amazing Fillings, written by Ken Hedrich. He's a pie master, has been making them for over a quarter of a century, very well-known author, and he's joining us live this morning to reveal more great pie baking tips.
So I think you said that your favorite way of making a pie crust is to use the food processor because it just speeds everything up and maybe you have a little bit more control, and that the only thing you need to be careful of is not to over-process it. As I mentioned, that's something that I love doing, too. The other thing is butter crust, shortening crust, lard crust, all of that. And again, I think you said that your favorite crust was a butter crust, but one to which you had added a bit of shortening.
Yes. This is the age-old question that I get asked every time by every person is, what sort of fat do I like in my crust? And the short answer is, I like mostly butter for the flavor. But like you said, I like to add a couple of tablespoons of shortening because it just makes the dough more handleable, number one, if that's a word, handleable. And it also makes the crust, I believe, more tender. And it's, you know, to me, it seems like a small difference, but I really think it does make a difference. Not only that, it's a lot of people, you know, email me and tell me they have issues with their fluted edges holding their shape. And the first things I tell them is to use that Crisco, because Crisco is sort of like a dough relaxer or like a muscle relaxer on the dough. And if you make those flutes and they're always sort of disappearing on you or melting out, that will help. You'll see.
And what's the purpose of, in your master recipe, you also put a little vinegar in there. What's the purpose of vinegar?
The vinegar, you'll notice that there's vinegar, there's also a little bit of cornstarch, mm-hmm. and they serve the same purpose. The vinegar is just one of those things that helps to tenderize the crust a little bit. And cornstarch is the same thing. Cornstarch, if you make cakes, you probably know that cornstarch is a major ingredient in cake flour, and that's because it helps to tenderize things. And I think it helps to tenderize pie crust as well. That's why I use just a little bit of it. I think there are many recipes out there that don't use either vinegar or the cornstarch, but those things have worked for me for years, and I just kind of stick to them.
For pre-baking the pie crust, which I always do, and I always filled my pie crust with beans or rice or something like that, and I used aluminum foil in that bottom crust. You use a large coffee filter, which I never thought of. How did that idea come to you?
Well, and actually, I got that idea from Paula Haney. She's the gal who has the who's her mama pie shop out in Chicago, and she's quite a pie maker. And I saw her working one day, and I saw all these jumbo urn style coffee filters, and I thought, my gosh, that's amazing. What a good idea, because they're, you know, unlike the foil that you sort of have to mold to fit in the pie shell, sort of like a glove, these things are already shaped like that. You just put your beans in the filter. Now, I've not been able to find those in a small quantity. You have to order those in a large quantity from somewhere. So I have about 50 million urn-style
Do you want to sell some?
Filters out there that they're that they'll probably be handing out at my funeral 50 years from now.
There's 15 chapters in this book, going in part two, The Wonderful World of Pie. That's where you have the 25 different doughs. So if you can't find a dough there, you're just not looking hard enough. And then you move into the berry pies, and I thought I had my pie chosen for this coming Thursday until I ran across this one, Ken, and that is, over the summer I pitted and froze about 6 pounds of wonderful Bing cherries. So I saw this recipe in your book, fresh sweet cherry pie with coconut almond crunch topping, and it stopped me in my tracks. It looks like a great recipe.
Yeah, you know, I am so crazy about crumb toppings of any kind. I once had it must have, you know, shown up somehow on my the Pie Academy website at some point that I was doing a lot of pies with crumb crusts and not pastry crust, because at some point some fellow wrote to me and says, do you really know how to make a pie with a pastry topping? And I thought, that's kind of a wise guy, but he had a point. I love these crumb toppings, and that's just, that cherry pie is just one of the best. It has that wonderful, like you say, coconut topping, and what a nice surprise to get cherries this time of year. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to your house for Thanksgiving.
Then there's the apple pie section. Number 8 is the other fall classics, the pear, the pumpkin, the cranberry, and more. Then the notable nut section with pecan pies and beyond. And then one of my favorite sections, I don't know about you, John, but it's number 10.
10, of course.
Yeah.
For both of us.
Yeah. The rich, sweet, and simple, the chess, the buttermilk, and other custard pies.
Oh yeah, you're right in line with my thinking. Yeah. I love those creamy chess pies and those. Oh man, there's nothing like them.
So let me ask you the question, because we get lots of different responses. What's the origin of chess pie?
Well, there's two schools of thought on that. The first has to do with what. The piece of furniture that pies were one time kept in before the refrigeration, and those were called pie chests or pie safes. You've probably seen them. They have little screen fronts, or you know, sort of punch tin fronts. You've probably seen them, and that's where pies used to be kept to keep the flies off them. So that those were called pie chests, and the other is just sort of definition I like more. It's sort of an old wives' tale about a southern gentleman comes home for lunch one day, and his wife has made this wonderful pie that he just can't get enough of, and he kept saying to her, what's in this pie, and she sort of very demurely says, well, honey, it's just pie.
That's my favorite explanation. And that was a terrific chapter, where the fine points of delineating between the buttermilk and the chess pie and the custard pie and the Indiana style pie, the transparent pies from Kentucky, where I grew up, the butterscotch, the shoe fly pies, that was near and dear to my heart. Then you have, of course, the small pie packs, and then ice box pies, a whole chapter about that. On to cream pies, the diner classics, like the butterscotch banana cream.
And watermelon chiffon.
That was a wild one.
How do you do that?
That's a great one. Yeah.
Where did that inspiration come from?
You probably noticed that there was there's another watermelon pie in here, but it's made with watermelon rind.
Yes.
It probably came from the leftover watermelon flesh that I had left. But, you know, it's not unusual to see different chiffon pies that are flavored with very light flavors, like, you know, citrus and that sort of thing. I just thought, you know, that would make a really good chiffon, nice, light, textured, ethereal, you know, chiffon pie. Just sounded good, so I started playing around with it.
I want to remind our listeners, this portion of the Good Food Hour is brought to you by Graciana Winery. Their family just is a terrific, hospitable family, and they would like to invite you to stop by their tasting room on Westside Road in Healdsburg to enjoy their warm hospitality. Ken, we want to make a listener very happy this morning. Mm-hmm. Why don't you choose your favorite number between 1 and 10?
I would say 7.
Caller number 7 at 636-1350 will win this copy, the brand new Pie Academy. Master the perfect crust and 255 amazing fillings with fruits, nuts, creams, custards, ice cream, and more. Expert techniques for making fabulous pies from scratch. And our congratulations on the beautiful use of full color photography, mm-hmm. demonstrating all these pie rolling and assembly techniques, Ken.
Oh, thank you very much. It is a beautiful book, I must say, and I love my publisher, Story. They are wonderful.
Thanks so much for joining us. What pie are you going to make? Tell us now for Thanksgiving.
I'm going to make a pear pie. I love pear pies with crumb toppings, so that's going to be it.
Oh, sounds good, doesn't it? Thanks so much for joining us. We'll hope to check in again, Ken.
Okay, you bet. I appreciate it.
Thanks, a good Thanksgiving.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
Ken Hedrich. From out there on the East Coast with his pie book. Sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it?
It really is a beautiful book. The publisher put on there, which I really love, and I think it's really true, the only pie book you'll ever need.
Back so after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Hey, Sonoma County, this is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. This is a great time for many homeowners to refinance and use your home's equity to pay off credit cards, complete home improvement projects, or just lower your payment with a new fixed-rate mortgage. Just visit georgeadair.com for a fast pre-approval. Then I'll provide a free phone or in-person consultation, reviewing your goals and potential savings. Cross Country offers amazing technology, incredible rates, and a local presence you can trust. Even more important, I have the experience and loan programs to help get your loan approved even with challenging credit or income situations. We're a direct lender, and many of our clients close their refinance loan in as fast as 21 days. Some properties don't even require an appraisal. If you're ready for a great lending experience, then let's get started. Call me direct at 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgeadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
John Ash, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too, Steve Garner.
And all of our listeners, a wonderful Thanksgiving. Check in next week, Saturday. We'll be back with Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour.
And leftovers.
And after the news, it is Clark Wolf at the table. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
From ABC.